Welcome to this message, brought to you by Christ Life Church Chicago, the Miracles and Winners Place. Please enjoy God's Word, brought to you through the ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Soji Adesanya. We pray that you will be richly blessed. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
On this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Tell somebody that. This one thing I do. Open to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 13 to 14. Now this is going to be the opening message. I hope we are going to be here this evening for the revival. Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 3 rather, from verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. Apostle Paul in his life passed through so many things. He has seen victory, he has seen failure. He has seen sin, he has seen temptations, he has seen success, he has seen so many challenges in his life. But he came to this conclusion that this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the mark. Today, it is laid upon me to pass this message to us that as we journey through life, what can bring us to success, what can bring us to the point of victory is to forget the past. If you look at the way the automobile is designed, you will know that we have the rear mirror and we have the windshield and some other components of vehicle. You have to glance at the rear mirror. Just to look at the back, you glance, you look at the back, and then you focus through the windscreen to the journey. If you focus on the rear mirror and fail to focus or just glance at the windshield, you're going to kill somebody. And eventually, you may kill yourself. So, in the journey of life, if we are going to be victorious, if we are going to be successful, you have to do nothing but to focus on the journey. This one thing I do. If I ask you who is the poorest person on earth, you could tell me that somebody who has no money. No. The purest, the person that is so poor, or the purest person on earth, someone who is just, like they call it, church rat. It's somebody who is here without a purpose. If you are in this world without a purpose, of all people, you are just the most miserable. Because purpose keeps someone alive. It is the purpose that can keep a man alive in life. If you have purpose of one thing or the other that we are going to do, and you face challenges and these things are happening to you, those things are happening to you. If you have learned this lesson of focusing and forgetting about the past and pressing towards the mark, pressing towards the price, you're going to make it. Amen. You're going to make it. Thomas Edison, I was told, making support batteries, or what we can call, you know, backup batteries, attempted this, and about 10,000 experiments he made before he could eventually win and made these batteries. 10,000 experiments. Nothing comes cheap. As you face the battle of life, as you face the situation in life, if you have one purpose, that this journey, you go to get to the end and you go to get the prize, then you have to focus through the windscreen and you gaze and just glance in a while through the rear mirror. The first accident I will ever had, the first accident as I started to drive back home in Nigeria was, I was driving and I saw my friend. I was just started driving not too long and I saw my friend and it was waving to me. I was so excited and I was waving to him. And before I could notice it, boom, I hit somebody behind. Just because I failed to focus. If you look at this side and this side attraction and that side attraction, I want to tell you the truth. It is Titanic. You have to make it, you have to. There are some rules about life. There are some principles in life that you cannot do without. I think you all know that. You cannot do without. Be honest with yourself. Your future is very, very important. And if you base all and you try as much as possible to look through the windscreen and focus on the future and forgetting what is behind you, because what is behind you, those things are gone. You need not to remember them again. Naturally, we want to know about our future. One of the people that could get, attention of the people, one of those people are the people that can tell you about your future. Either they do it in using psyche on you or anything. Naturally, we want to know what the future holds for us. Naturally, a man wants to know that. You know, naturally, if you want to go and buy something or you want something, you want to pay very small money and get something very big, right? That's why people, naturally, they look for a good bargain. They go for sales here, sales there, sales in this place because they want to spend little money to get something big. It's natural. So the same thing, sometimes we want to know our future. We want to see what the future is holding for us. We want to try this as much as possible to have the insight about the future. But something is very, very important. As we know that the future is so big, what you have ahead of you, if you look at the fraction of the rear mirror to windshield, you could say about 1/200 in fraction. The rear mirror and the windshield. Because why? Your past is so small compared to your future. What is ahead of you is so big compared to what you have passed through. Do you know that one of those things that are in front of us is eternity? It's so wide and so big that you cannot, because of the past, refuse to focus on your future through the wide range of the windscreen, because tomorrow, our tomorrow is in the hands of God. And our future is bright. It is better. Future is better. You look back through the past, through the rear mirror, just to have the experience and to learn about what you have passed through. And then that will help you to prepare for your future. This is an introductory part of the message. Success will be more difficult when we focus on the side mirror. It's going to be very, very difficult for us if we place our focus more on the past and refuse to work on our future and refuse to, have the determination and the purpose of successfully waging war against all obstacles or things that can detract our attention or that can take us off the track. Your future is more important than your past. Your past is a rear mirror, and your future is a windshield. Can you tell somebody that? No. Yes. Your past is a rear mirror. It's very small. It's very small. What you have passed through could not be compared to the success ahead of you. There are some rules that we have to take. Listen, brethren, you know, some factors in life you cannot do without, but to pass through those things and do things right so you can have the right result. People that have achieved so great things in life, ask them what they have passed through. It's not easy. It's by the grace of God. Ask them these questions. So I want you to have this at the back of your mind that purpose will keep you alive. Purpose will keep you in the church. Purpose will keep you in that family. Purpose will keep you in that office. Purpose will keep you in that business. Purpose keeps a man alive. This one thing you must do. You must forget about the past. If you go to enjoy yourself. Apostle Paul couldn't say this without any reason. And sometimes some people, they focus on their achievement. The achievement of the past. They give stories of the past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Anytime you get to a level in your life and you think that you've graduated from the school of knowledge, that you don't want to have more knowledge and advice from people, that is the time you are going down. Because we learn every day. Nobody has finished. Nobody has graduated. As long as you are here, you continue to learn situations about life. You know, things that we face every day. Challenges on our ways. You continue to learn about your body, the component of your body. You continue to learn about your environment, things that, you know, that are around you. You never graduate from this. You continue to learn every day. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We must press. You know what it means to press? You don't think that, you know, manna will begin to fall from heaven into your bedroom. Diamond will begin to fall from sky into your bedroom. No, you must press. Life is a battle. Hello? You must continue to press. You don't give up at any time. You have to have that determination. You have to have that purpose. That come what may, I am not going to give up. You know, I will get you to the story of David. You remember very carefully, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take you straight there to the issue of David. David refused not to die. It was purpose that kept David alive. It was purpose that made Samuel to anoint David even while Saul was still alive. Listen, it was a risk to anoint another king when a king is still alive. It was purpose. Samuel told God, I don't want Saul to kill me. And God told him, tell when you get to the house of Jesse, just tell them you are here to worship God. You are here to sacrifice unto the Lord. You could think that God was teaching Samuel to lie. No. God was helping Samuel to be alive. Because I didn't mean that he messed up in that exercise, Saul is going to kill him. Purpose kept him going. Purpose made him to take the risk, and then he went in to anoint a king, David, even while one king was still alive. And then after that, it was purpose, because David knew that he was the future of Israel, and Saul was the past of Israel, and he wouldn't let Saul kill him. He wouldn't want to toy with the future that he had ahead of him. And no wonder, David looked at himself and said, who am I? Among my brethren, God, you have decided to raise a king in Israel. You have decided to have a covenant with people, and you took Israel. Among the Israel that you took, 12 tribes of Israel, you took Judah, my tribe. And not only that, God, you came in looking for who can take over from Saul, who can reign after Saul. Among all my brethren, you took me. Who am I, God? From that level, who am I? You took my tribe, Judah. You came down to me and you took me to reign over your people. Who am I? What have we done that you are so merciful unto us? Purpose kept him alive. 21 attempts on his life. He refused to die. He said, I will not die in the hand of Saul. He told his soldiers, let's run. They begin to run. Even he had opportunity two times to kill Saul. He said, no, my purpose is to reign. I will not lay my hands on God's anointed. That can distort his purpose for life. You got to take care of the steps that you take. You got to be very careful the way you talk. You got to be very careful where you go so that a journey of 1 year will not be taken to 40 years. Hello? Purpose keeps a man alive. Purpose keeps a man in the right dimension, in the right track. Your future is a windscreen. Your past is a rear mirror. Many people in life keep focusing on their past. Keep focusing on their past. Keep thinking on their past. Do you know even when you have objectives of life, you have objectives, you have things that you tend to do in life, you must understand and every day review your purpose so that you not be derailed from the objectives. I read a story of a restaurant in Atlanta called Church. Let me see the name very well. I don't want to make mistake. The name they call it. I have it here. Church of God Grill in Atlanta, Georgia. Church of God Grill. It was in a yellow page. And the pastor visited that city and he saw it. I said, he was so interested. He said, Church of God Grill? This should be good restaurant. And then he made a call. And they said, hello, this is Church of God Grill. And he said, how do you come about this name, Church of God Grill? And then the person was explained to him that there was a small ministry, and at the time they were looking for a way to pay their bills, and they started the restaurant, and they call it dinner, evening dinner, or dinner after service. And people were buying, they were paying their bills, but gradually it was booming and booming and booming, and they decided to continue. Before they know it, they closed down the ministry, and the business continues. Even when you have, objectives in life, if care is not taken, the environment will take you out of your purpose. And that's why I always say this, and I think you can still remember, that you are not the product of your environment as you are the product of your choices. You are the one to decide what you're going to do, even in the means of the environment. The environment may not be inviting. It may not be conducive. It may not be positive. But if you decided to focus on your purpose, you can still come from such an environment and you become great and star. Amen. Be encouraged today. This one thing you must do. And you tell somebody, this one thing you must do, you must forget about the past. And you must press towards the mark. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 from verse 10 to 11, let's open and quickly see the issue of Saul here and David. 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you read verse 10, it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, I repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Saul derailed from God's purpose for his life and began to do that which God did not ask him to do, God rejected him right there. And while he had been rejected, and God decided to anoint another king, a replacement. Verse 26. Before we read the replacement, verse 26 of that same chapter. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord had rent the kingdom of Israel from this day, and had given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou, and also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. God is the strength of your life. When you keep your purpose within the reach of God, you have story to tell. Hello? You have story to tell. This one thing you must do. You must forget about what has taken place in the past. And you must allow your purpose in life to help you, to strengthen you, to make you come closer and closer to God, and to make you focus on your future. Here, Saul did not focus. And if you look at chapter 16, from verse 1 to 5, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an ewer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel, it was the purpose. It was God that helped Samuel to kind of actualize God's assignment for his life. You must have purpose in this church. Amen? You must have purpose in your family. It is purpose that will help you to forget the past. When you keep yourself busy about the things of God, when you keep yourself busy about your program in life, you will not be able to occupy yourself with those things that have gone behind you. Many people in the world today spend greater percentage of their lives thinking about their past. Many people weeping and crying, you know, on something they cannot change. You cannot change your past. But you still have opportunity to make way for your future. Amen. What has come, and what has gone. All you can do now is to learn from your past and apply all those things that you have learned to the future. Peradventure, you meet such situation, you'll be able to undo it better than you had done in the past. Amen. Let it go. Tell somebody, let it go. Whatever purpose or dream God put in you, it is for God to fulfill a purpose in his mind. It is for God. When you cooperate with God and forget about your past and come down to God and you look at your future, the woman that was met in adultery and they brought her to Jesus Christ and Jesus, they told Jesus, according to the law of Moses, we have to kill this woman. And Jesus said, if any of you here has not done anything like this, cast the first stone. And nobody was able to do that. And they all left. And then the woman was left alone. And Jesus said, okay, woman, nobody condemned you. He said, yes, okay, if no one has condemned you, I had not condemned thee also. So go and sin no more, which means forget about your past. Now take care of the future. Do not let this happen to you again. Amen? Hey, listen to me very carefully. Your future is so important. It's very, very important. It's a principle in life. You have to spend more time for future than you will spend for issues that has taken place, issues that you cannot change, issues that you cannot redeem. And I think we Christians, we have greater opportunity to do this. Looking at what happened to David here, that David determined each time that he had the opportunity to run, he continued to run. He will forget about whatever Saul had done to him. All that David focused on is to reign over Israel. All that he focused on is to fulfill God's purpose for his life, for his people. All David focused on was the assignment God had given him, not about his enemies. Some of us, we focus greater percentage of our time on our enemies. Continue to fight a battle that you need not to fight. A battle that you need not to fight. The enemies is not here. The enemies is over there. Amen? The enemies is not here. When you concentrate your attention on yourself or on your nucleus environment and you begin to waste time on that, then you give the enemy opportunity to gather momentum against you. Forget about the past. This one thing I do. Tell somebody, this one thing I do. Forget about the past. God has a purpose for everybody. And when you have a desire and an important purpose, if God has an important purpose for you, Enemies will want to stop God. Enemy will like to stop you. You cannot stop God. But we, if we cooperate with God, we'll get to our goals. But when we cooperate with the enemies, then we'll give enemies opportunity to triumph. Look at the issue of David here. Running up and down, running here and there, because as soon as he was anointed, his challenges started. As a matter of fact, as soon as he got a victory over Goliath, he began to face problems. And as soon as he was anointed as king, he faced opposition. Look at the case of Moses, Jesus, Joseph, Daniel. Many of these people faced challenges, but they focus on their purpose in life. They keep forgetting things behind. They keep moving. They keep pressing. And they made it. You know, in the law court, if you're a good lawyer, want to win a case, you have to make a research and look at a similar case that somebody had won in the past. And as you are presenting your case, towards the closing argument, you want to tell the judge, you quote, this happened at this time, at so time, at so time, at so time, and the result was this, was that. And judges always listen to that. Because you had made a good reference. For the most part, such lawyers, they will win. Amen? Because they have cited cases like that. They have cited examples like that. If we want to win in life, understand it very carefully. Read the life of those that have gone behind us. Those that have gone, before us. People that have gone over there. Read their life history. Read how they have taken steps. Read how they have solved situations. If you want to become a mathematician, they will have to take you through the book written by those mathematicians that have gone before you, right? You cannot tell your professor, I want to make my own book. You got to read calculus, trigonometry, all those things. You read all those things that have been written by other professors because they have solved the problems, because they have seen results. So the same principles we have to attain in life. If you want to win, you must listen to God's word and handle your life according to the stated principles of God. Amen. And surely you must win. This one thing I do. Tell somebody that. If God say you will do something and your enemy say you will not, if you are in agreement with God and disagreement with your enemy, then you will do it. You will do it. If your enemy keeps telling you to focus on that past, focus on that thing, and then refuse to do that one thing, pressing forward, and you agree with the enemy, it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be very hard for you. You have to. Now, you can say, oh no, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't want to do it. I don't know how it's happening to me. But for the most part, there is a right given to us at birth, which I have explained before, right to choose. It's given to everybody at birth. And nobody can take that from you. They can take anything from you in life, but right to choose is yours. You have to decide on your life. It's your life. You have the opportunity to listen to what I'm saying. You have the opportunity to say, no, Pastor, I'm not going to listen. I want to do that which I think is right. Either it is in agreement with the word of God or not, I will do that which I think is right. Then the consequences will come, and then you are not going to blame anybody, right? Because it's your right to choose. And nothing happens to us by accident. Nothing. Your coming to this church is never by accident. Your coming to life is never by accident. Your being in the United States at this time is not an accident. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. When we live outside God's purpose, then we are not living right. And then we are the poorest person on earth. We are very poor. If you live outside God's purpose, you are very poor. I think one thing that I want to say to conclude this message this morning is this. You know, sometimes we in life don't know what we are facing. And when you don't know your enemy very well, it's going to be very, very difficult and challenging to win. I have seen, I've heard most people that coach either football, soccer, or basketball, whatever kind of ball, they will spend time to look at the games those opponents have played in the past. Am I right? They will study their tactics. Even in the war front, they do the same thing in the war front. You study the strength of your enemies. You will study the weaknesses of your enemies. Some students are very smart. They do that also when they are dealing with their professors in the school. They try to look at the past questions. Look at the way the professor set his question, the mind of the professor, what he's looking for. Some professors will give you verbatim, all the assignment he has given you. We just give you in the final or during the exam. He will give you all the exams he has given you, all the quiz and everything he has given you in the past. Some professors will come from nowhere. And sometimes you also study the way professors mark their papers. Some professors, no matter what you write in that class, you will apportion only one person will get A. Some professors are like that. And we put many people on C and few people on Bs. I have seen cases whereby if you want to win in such environment, you have to study very well the approach or what they will call modus operandi of the operation of either the team or the country or the professor. Even in this country, there are some people that have taken their time to study the system. And some people, they will spend greater percentage of their time to study how they can beat the system. They will study how they can beat the system, no matter what. Some people, if they caught them in a crime, government will invite them and will tell them, this crime will hand you 10 years imprisonment. If you can cooperate with us and deliver us some of your colleagues doing the same thing, we will reduce your sentence.
Some of your people doing the same thing will reduce your tax. They are negotiating with him now. They're talking to him. But they know that the best way to get somebody is to know how that person operates. So to be able to know how you can reduce or punish as many as possible.
The same thing we can undo our enemies. Amen?
Amen.
The same thing we can do in... See, you have to study the situation to see how can I come out triumphant. How can I be a successful Christian? How can I be the most valuable person in this environment? I was talking to somebody one time, and he told me he was working at Dunkin' Donuts. He's now one of the commissioners of something in the city. But he said when he was with Dunkin' Donuts, the man came from Pakistan. He said that he tried as much as possible to know how to work in every unit. In Dunkin' Donuts. Every unit. Say it can be cashier, it can do this, it can do that, it can do anything. That at the time, he became the most valuable person in that place. If they want to call, they don't want people, they want to say, oh, don't come back, don't come. We don't need people today. They will always ask him to come and work. Because they know if they get him, they have more people. Some of the people in life, they just focus. They say, that is my specialty. That is my specialty. If they want to weed people, they always weed first those people who focus, who won't weed traffic in the box. That is my specialty. They will weed them because they are not going to be used or useful for so many, many functions. Are you getting what I'm talking now? So it's very good for us as Christians to know our environment. If you will know if you are going to get to heaven. See, there's no doubt. We shouldn't be doubting. Hey, pastor, when we get to heaven, how do I know if I'm a Christian? Hey, you will know if you are going to get to heaven. Ah. Hey, hello? If you see mango fruit, would you know this is mango? Do I need to give you lecture that this is orange? This is not mango. Do I need to do that? Even for blind people, when they put it in their mouth, oh, I asked for mango. This is not mango. What do you put here? Banana? Why? Because you don't need lecture to know that this is mango, this is banana. Even when you don't know, after a while you have been handling banana. If you hold banana in your hand, there is a way banana will shape, right? And there's a way orange will shape. If we want to be successful in life, we need to study very carefully. In any case, either a Christian life, either a profession, either a particular business, you have to study very carefully and don't limit the situation and don't limit yourself. This one thing you must do. You don't just say, I have purpose in life. I have purpose in life. And we are just doing anything you like to do. I have purpose in life. A pilot was arrested in London, drunk, right? And was trying to fly people. Hello? Who threw that pilot in to the garbage? One of the crew members. Some of us will be afraid to take some actions because we think of consequences that are just unnecessary consequences. You want to put your life on the line with a drunk pilot? Even if it's, God forbid, your husband. Sometimes you have to turn it in to God. I don't mean go report your husband somewhere. But you have to turn him into God because, you see, one thing that is good in life is that we got to help each other to make it in anything we are in. Either as family, either to make it as a Christian, either to make it in business, we need to help each other. When you cooperate together, there was a time they were trying to kill one armed robber when they used to kill them at Babish in Nigeria. The man said, I want one request. I just want to talk to my mother. I just want to talk to my mother before you kill me. And they granted his request. They asked his mother to come and that your son will talk to you. Then as the woman went near to talk to I don't want to use anybody as an example, to talk to his son, God forbid, to talk to her son. Say, mother, put your hair very well. Shop the hair of his mother. He said, You did not tell me. You know, the man was trying to say when he was stealing little things at home. Little things. You pamper me. You fail to correct me. Now I'm in this situation. So the only thing he can do, because they tie all his hand, tie everything, is to do what? To give a lesson to every mother that when you talk of purpose in life, when you talk of forgetting things behind, talk of anything, either in family, in anything, we need to cooperate together. We need to study the particular situation so that we can achieve our goals and our purpose in life. Amen. 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 The man that used to come here to help us tune up the system, he was here yesterday. One of those people playing here from Puerto Rico. We call him Brother Joe Gandhi. He has a ministry called Princey Ministry. Princey Ministry. And we were talking together yesterday in the banquet hall after the crusade. And I told him that I would have loved that he should come and help us and talk to some of us so we can get into this ministry. We're just talking generally. And he said, Pastor, let me tell you something. You know what touched my heart? He said, what? See, he's been to these prisons that Many people in prison, those children, that they are from Christian home, that they know the word of God, as they are telling them what they know the word of God. But some mistakes they have made, some little things they have done, put them into serious trouble. Put them, some of them committed this unknowingly. Some maybe they, when they were 22, a man committed a case when he was 22 and now he was 40-something years old and he had never worked in his life. You know, we are told, and he's still in prison. They told him that by the time he will be released from prison, he cannot see his daughter. That they told his, the wife, if you want to see your husband, if your husband should come to this house, we'll take your daughter from you, we'll take your house from you. Brethren, purpose keeps a man alive. You must be here with a purpose. That will help you to take the right decision. Decision to get to heaven. Decision to get to heaven is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. You must have reasons why you are in the church. Hello? The reason, the most important reason why we are in the church is eternity, to reign with Christ. That is the most important thing. All other things are secondary. That is the purpose that must keep you alive. Come what may, you forget things behind you. Forget anything behind you. Some people will still remember some things that happened in the church like 10 years ago. They will still remember. You have to forget that, and you have to focus, you have to move on, you have to forget about the crowd. It's you and God, and that purpose, your determination, that the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this price, I must get this price. If I drop today, I will drop gloriously, and I will be sure that I will reign with Christ. That will keep you alive. That will make you very active in the church. That will make you to forget about all the negative aspects. And then you will focus on the positive aspect. We'll work together as in the family, as in the business, and you will know that this is the purpose. If you go to school in a college and you want to graduate, you must focus. If you don't focus, you cannot graduate from college. Hello? You focus. You can take 5 classes and read and read and read hard. You can take 2, but you focus and come out gloriously. Or if you just go there and go to class where you like, tell professor, what are you teaching? I remember when I was a professor, I wished, professor, you were in my class. Oh, who can tell my story here? You have had your result. Hello? That's the purpose you have come to, the purpose you have gone to do in that school is to talk of your glory. And the professor will let you understand that in this class, I am the boss. He can use his pen. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God left one person. And the same Spirit of God came upon another person. Left the one and he crashed. Came on one and he was victorious. Right? The Bible says the Spirit of God left Saul. And then came upon David. And as soon as David was anointed, it became clear, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Saul walked very hard to stop him, but he became unstoppable because of God's anointing in his life. The same pen that can give somebody victory, that same pen can give somebody failure, right? It is the purpose. It's how you look at it. It's the way you are seeing God. And God is a good God. If you determine, he will help you. If you are focused, he will see you through. If you work very hard, God will crown your effort. Let's talk to our children. Let's work together as family. Talk to your partner. Talk to your friends. And let us work together. When you work together, when you team up and you become bonded together, victory is sure. Amen? Victory is sure in anything that you are doing. In any profession you find yourself. No profession is easy. Engineering, nursing, medicine, law, no one is easy. Even Bible college. People think, yeah, they go to Bible college, they don't fail. Don't you think that? People think when they go to Bible college, they don't fail. Somebody was telling me in the office, say, Emmanuel, he said he had a PhD in environmental engineering from Northwestern. I said, oh, I said, if I have that, I will have gone to. I said, you don't need to do that. You are a pastor. Go to Bible college, you get your PhD straight. This person talking to me, a Muslim, and he knew that going to Bible college, you get PhD straight. But is it easy? Nothing is easy like that. The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. This one thing I do. Tell somebody. Just forget about what has gone behind you. This can't everything, if you read that Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, all that I have, I've counted as dung. Everything summarized together as nothing. And it is nothing. Honestly speaking, life without God is titanic. It's nothing. Life spent outside God will result to failure, will result to disappointment. Life spent after God, outside God, we mean nothing at the end of the day. And that was what Paul was trying to lay emphasis on. Trying to tell people that we have to continue to press because the price ahead of you is bigger than what you have passed through behind of you. The windscreen, don't always remember when you are driving your vehicle that the windscreen is very wide. Your future is bright. Your future is wide. Do you know that somebody can suffer for like 10 years? When you get to enjoyment for one day, one month, come on. You forget about the suffering. Hey, you forget about... I read an email sent to me by one of our brothers here. He said, take your breakfast as king and take your lunch as prince. But your dinner, take it as a beggar, right? So take your dinner as a beggar. When they are trying to talk about how to live good life or something like that, you know, they try to say that you don't eat too much when you want to sleep, so if you want to stay long air, something like that. But to tell you the truth, if you are in prison, you are not going to be in prison in Jesus' name. Amen. If somebody passes through certain tough times and you come out of it, just for one few months or weeks, you will forget all the suffering. And that's why in heaven, we are told that God will wipe away all tears. Because we look back, the tear is not tears of sorrow. It's tears of joy. That God, this is what I passed through to get here. Your God, you are awesome. So I can come to this glorious place, Lord, so you can transform me like this, and you begin to weep, say, God. You know it happens? Yeah? You know, you weep, you know, tears of joy in your eyes. And that will be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we bless you this afternoon. We worship you because we are a good God. We thank you for this great time and opportunity that we have to be in the church. Father, we have had your word. We pray that your word will help us in Jesus' name. We'll live according to your purpose. We'll live and we'll forget those things behind us. And we'll continue to press for that price that you have laid before us. Thank you, precious Lord. Help us, Father, help our children. Help every family in this place. Help us in our profession. Help us in our business. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Choir, please. Praise the Lord. Amen. They can do the dedication after.
We trust you are richly blessed. Worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. with Sunday school at 10 a.m. Our Wednesday Bible study starts at 8 p.m. and our monthly night vigil starts at 12 midnight on the first Friday of every month. Call us today at 773-936-1348 or visit our website at www.christ-life.chicago.org. The church is located at 8927-29 South Houston Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60617. We hope to see you soon.